Good morning. Announcements. Today will be the last day for getting your picture done in the parlor. Please, please, if we haven't got your picture done, go and get it taken. Lynn printed out Thursday a trial copy of the pictorial directory, and for those of you that we have pictures for, it really looks good. So we would like to get the rest of you so we can have that ready when Pastor Steve comes. Christmas! Yeah, not too soon. It's time to start collecting cards from Christ. Christmas cards don't have pop-ups, don't have sparkly on them, don't sign your whole name. Write a nice message to some person in prison, and then we'll see how many we can collect this year. Last year we had over 5,000. It was incredible. If you have a son, a daughter, a parent, whatever, that goes to a different church, Lynn can give you the information of where the cards go. It'd be a wonderful ministry to get started in their church, wherever that is. I think you all know, next week is my last week standing here. It has been an adventure, to say the least, but you all have made it wonderful. The family of St. John's is a great group of people, all of you. You're going through this pandemic really very well. We have to do things we don't want, but you're doing it. So, as Pastor Steve comes week after next, it's, as Buzz Lightyear would say, up and onward to infinity. Let's begin our worship by rising and making confession before our God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. O God, your ears are open always to the prayer of your servants. Open our hearts and minds to you, that we may live in harmony with your will. Receive the gifts of your Spirit through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is from 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what should I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall rise after you." The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, will He not with Him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew from the 13th chapter. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it's grown, it's the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in it and its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea that caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, set down, put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire. Then there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood this? They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure. what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus the Christ. I wonder if the crowd surrounding Jesus, and possibly even the disciples who were there, were really disappointed. Here, Jesus is once again telling another parable about seeds and plants. He does, however, add in stories of baking bread, plowing a field, and going fishing. What is special in these stories is that they're all about the ordinary thing in people's lives. No kings are found in today's parables, no military generals, revolutionary leaders, which would have pleased Simon the Zealot or Judas. So I'm sure that they were really disappointed in Jesus. And I wonder if you that are hearing this selection of parables in 2020 are disappointed too. You want to hear the visions of heaven and glory, not visions of heaven that include mustard bushes and housework. That doesn't sound very regal. We usually see God as Lord or King rather than a farmer or a baker woman. Much of our contemporary Christian music centers around enthroning Jesus, raising him up and exalting him in the highest heaven. But not today. The stories Jesus is telling us today of his kingdom and of heaven are really literally down to earth. They're stories about ordinary people, a tenant farmer, a housewife, a fisherman, doing their everyday things. Jesus' ministry was always directed to the common man or woman, not to the upper class. And these parables are hardly an exalted vision of God's realm, but I think that's Jesus' whole point. As Christians, we say that we believe in the incarnation, the mystery of the union of the divine with the human in the person of Jesus Christ. In his parables, Jesus is about others, not himself. He's talking about the world around him, because that's where the kingdom of God is. He wants us to understand that this everyday world of ours is really the sacred meeting of the divine and the human. We need only to have eyes to see and ears to hear. The world that we all live in is the kingdom of God that's around us each and every day. Now, five times in today's gospel reading, Jesus tells them the kingdom of God is like, but he is always using common things in our human lives to describe God's kingdom. Now, Jesus' parables differ significantly from Greek or Roman myths or even Aesop's fables. These stories have no gods in human disguise or talking animals, just real life, women and men, going about their everyday work. These parables are about our world, the world of 2020. According to Matthew, the first thing that Jesus does when he comes out of the wilderness is to proclaim, "The kingdom of heaven is near." And then he proceeded to demonstrate that that nearness to those around him appeared every time he healed someone. We can do that. He reached out to outcasts. We're supposed to do that. Jesus always respected women and cared for the poor. Once again, that's our job. He used these parables to demonstrate what the nearness of the kingdom is, both then and now. God's realm is not some imaginary kingdom, but it's as close to us as the next mustard bush or loaf of bread. It's as close as the nearest food pantry, community meal, battered women's shelter, immigrant housing project. The nearness of the kingdom, much more than the threat of eternal agony, is the basis for Jesus' call for us to believe. Of these five parables, only the last one includes end times judgment and gnashing of teeth. All the rest are to show us God in every nook and cranny of our daily lives. God is with us from kneading dough to plowing fields. Jesus transforms human life, not by scaring the hell out of people, by helping them see that heaven is close at hand. Like Solomon, I hope we pray for a discerning mind to see these images as being God's realm. Jesus echoes his ancestor Moses' farewell address to the ancient Hebrews, as they stood on the edge of the promised land. Moses reminded the Hebrew people, the word is very near. It's in their hearts, very close at hand. In his earthly kingdom, parables that Jesus has reaffirms that same truth. We need a discerning mind to get that. Jesus does not use the seven wonders of the world to show us God's kingdom. He does not use the stately cedars of Lebanon, but instead this lowly mustard plant. The mustard seed is a symbol of the tiniest thing. And the plant it produces is a trash tree, or more accurately, a trash bush, no matter how tall it gets. The leaven for 100 loaves of bread is as common as the bread itself. We call it yeast. And in a tradition where it is a symbol of corruption and impurity, Jesus uses yeast as the agent of miraculous growth in God's kingdom. If God can use a mustard seed and corrupted yeast to grow the kingdom, imagine what God is going to do with each one of you. The next two parables tell people who will gladly give up everything for a heavenly treasure. The extravagant response of the tenant farmer and the pearl merchant is matched only by the extravagant mustard bush and loaves of bread in the preceding parables. Seems like a paradox that the kingdom that's worth the price of a great pearl or the hidden treasure is not made of silver or gold, but of bushes and bread. Would you give up all you have for a mustard bush? It's like asking, what would you do for a Klondike bar? What are you willing to do for the kingdom of God? Jesus' parables demand decisions. Like Moses' last words, the parables underscore our responsibility to choose God's way. Moses frames it as a choice between life and death, blessing or curse. Jesus' parables position the realm of God against that of the evil one. Good fish, bad fish. Like Moses, Jesus does not let us off the hook. The nearness of God's realm challenges us daily to choose that realm, not the one of the evil one. And it takes wisdom to make these choices. Ironically, because these parables are so rooted in the common things of Jesus' everyday world, it may seem remote from our world. I mean, in 2020, mustard is found in plastic bottles at Kroger's. Bread comes in plastic bags. Pearls go for discount prices on the home shopping network. These first century Palestinian parables can be as foreign to us in 2020 as any otherworldly vision of God's realm. So maybe we need to find new parables. What in your world produces the abundance of a mustard seed? What is it like? Yeast? The stained is corrupt, but actually an agent of God's transforming power. Like the man plowing a field or the merchant searching for the pearl, what would the people of St. John's give up in order to possess? We need to look at the world around us through Jesus' eyes. We need to open our eyes and ears of God's vision of heaven, a heaven that is really close at hand. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, to be able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people? Lord God, help us to discern as we govern our own lives, as we reach out with your word to those people in the community of Sydney. Give us wisdom. That's what we ask. Amen. As we've been doing since all of this distancing happened, the offering plates are found by the back door and up here. Thank you very much for your generosity during this time, which enables us to pay the bills and keep things going. So the ministry of St. John's goes on and on. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for all who are in need. Merciful God, your reign is revealed to us in common things. A mustard shrub, a woman baking bread, a fishing net. Help us at St. John's to use common things to take your message to our community. Lord, in your mercy, when we open your word, it is a source of light and understanding. Give us wisdom to understand what we read so that your word guides our lives. Lord, in your mercy, as the birds of the air nest in the branches of the great mustard bush, gather the people of Sydney into the welcoming shade of our family at St. John's. Lord, in your mercy, your Spirit helps us in our lack of understanding and our weakness, interceding for us according to your will. Help us when we don't know how to pray. May the hope of resurrection give comfort to the dying. Lord, in your mercy, you show steadfast love and direct us to ask you what we need. Help the people of St. John's ask boldly for what is most needed. Refresh us with new dreams of being your people in this place and at this time. Lord, in your mercy, in the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It's indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In him you have received us as your children and made us citizens of your kingdom and given us your Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal is your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Through Abraham you promised to bless all nations. You rescued Israel, your chosen people. Through the prophets you renewed your promise. And at this end of all ages you sent your Son, who in words and deeds proclaimed your kingdom and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, gracious Father, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us, and believing the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast.
Come, Lord Jesus.
As we've been called together by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All those who believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ are welcome to come to the table he has set for us. Come, the banquet is ready.
This bread, take this wine, now this simple made divine, for any to receive. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship, and as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation, we remember you. See his body, his blood, know that he has overcome every trial we will face. None too lost to be saved, none too broken or ashamed, all are welcome in this place. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship, and as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We remember you. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. 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 We remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship, and as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We respond to your invitation. We remember you.
Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you've given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord forevermore. Amen. You have been found by the power of Jesus Christ. You are no longer lost. May Almighty God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. As you leave this place, look for God in the ordinary things. Share the kingdom that is at hand. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Never runs out on me.